Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
You say you stand by your man. Tell me something you understand.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. We got to talk some college hoops, and joining us now our final regular visit of the year, Kevin Sweeney from Sports Illustrated. You can go follow him on social media at CBB_Central. He joins us now. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. A lot to get into, but let's start with that national championship game. Michigan, they win it all over UConn, a 6-point win over the Huskies. What did you make of their performance, of their win earlier this week?
Yeah, look, I think the thing that sticks out to me, having been to probably like 10-ish Michigan games throughout the year, dating back to players era, is, you know, they beat Gonzaga by 40 the day before Thanksgiving, and you're like, man, like, how can anyone beat this team, and how can this team get any better? And people beat them, but like, the thing that's most shocking to me is how much better they got. Like, Cadeau was a different player in March than he was in December. Yaxel got more comfortable. Adai Mara was incredible down the stretch. The two wings, Gale and McKinney, were terrific. So I think it's just an incredible credit to Dusty May that he was able to keep a team that was anointed very early, continue to improve and get better, and that showed off. They won in different ways throughout this tournament. Obviously, a run-and-gun style game against Arizona that they dominated, and then had to win a slugfest against UConn, who had a great plan and slowed the game down and forced it into the half court, and Michigan still found a way.
UConn really did have a great plan, but I think if the proverbial, if they played 10 times, that might have been their best shot at them, because Michigan, I don't think, played that well. All those times you saw Michigan play this year, that wasn't anywhere close to the best you saw them all year, was it?
No, it wasn't. Night. No, certainly not. Now, again, I would say that UConn was part of that. I thought they did a good job just kind of making them uncomfortable. And if UConn had made more threes and they had good looks, they had a real chance to pull that upset. Just didn't have quite enough in them. And, you know, Michigan, to their credit, even with Yax really banged up, I thought Yaxel did a really nice job of, you know, that stretch there, kind of mid to late second half, maybe 6 minutes to go. Yaxel scored three straight times down the floor, and I thought that was a critical moment, especially given how limited he was physically in the game with the ankle and knee injury.
Mm-hmm. You talk about Yaxel, and you wrote about him over at Sports Illustrated. This rise for him to, you know, playing community college basketball, going to UAB, and then landing at Michigan, and now being one of their, you know, most key players on a championship team. You know, I know he's talked about a little bit, you know, early in his career, you know, maybe liked things outside of basketball a little bit more than he liked the actual game. But what do you make of just his story as a whole, and then how important he was to this Michigan team?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, this is the guy who played 11 high school basketball games.
Wow.
You know, was academically ineligible most of high school, was on track to not even graduate high school. His mom kind of helped him straighten up his act, get him into junior college, give him a chance to play, and, you know, the rest is history. Just such like a fun-loving and great human being. You know, I think sometimes, you know, the lack of maturity comes through and you know, can frustrate people. But I think one of the brilliant things that Dusty did was surround him with, you know, some people who were a little more serious and allowed Yaxel to be Yaxel. Like, you can't try to change him. He's a one of a kind person. And it was fun for me. I basically followed Yaxel around for 45 minutes once the final buzzer sounded, and watched every move and saw, like, number one, just how happy he was. How happy all the people he's brought along the way were with him. You know, his family, his friends. He has a couple cousins that were there. That was pretty cool. The student section, like, he was so invested in this journey and didn't have to go to college this year. Could have went to the NBA. Would have been a first round pick. Decided to roll the dice, and I think he's certainly glad he did.
Boy, he sure did. And that Michigan performance, Kevin, Bryant and I were talking maybe Tuesday about first time I got really on alert about Michigan. It was right after the first of the new year, and I said one day, kind of throwaway, Michigan's got that look like they could go undefeated. They go out and lose to Wisconsin next game, and I thought, what I get that far ahead? They weren't far from it. It was a juggernaut team.
They were. Look, I mean, in a year where the top of the sport was incredibly strong and all the narrative, like they were dominant at times against some of the best teams in the sport. I mean, blew out Illinois at Illinois, you know, obviously blew out Arizona in the Final Four, beat the brakes off of Tennessee. Like you go through, like there weren't a lot of games that they were even in close fights. And I think that's certainly a credit to the roster they built, but also like they just had an incredible killer instinct about them. So I really enjoyed their season. They're an excellent and deserving champion.
I have no issue whatsoever with Cadeau being named MOP. Tell me, is that balloting? Is it a committee? Do you get a ballot at Press Row?
I got a ballot. Yeah, it's digital now, thankfully. So nobody's got to tally it up. I voted for Ade Mara just because I thought his defensive impact against Terrace Reed was huge, and then against Arizona, obviously he was terrific. But Cadeau earned it, and Cadeau is so good as like a connector all tournament, and had some big buckets in the UConn game.
And it's a little bit age old. It's MOP of the Final Four. Do you think people do it enough to bring in the Saturday performance and the Saturday numbers and box scores?
Yeah, I think that's the part of the issue. Everybody kind of takes different criteria. Some people look at the Saturday and Monday. Some people are just looking at Monday. Some people are looking at the tournament as a whole. Some people just give it to the best player on the best team. You know, it's not the most efficient process, but I think you could have given it to Cadeau or to Mara and felt pretty good about the vote.
You talk about Ade Mara. This is a guy that didn't really have a role at UCLA the last 2 years, then transfers into Michigan, and now a lot of people very intrigued about what he could be as a draft prospect. What do you make of that change? We talk so much, and it's usually more in football where we talk about kind of that system fit. Do you feel like Ade Mara was just a system fit at Michigan, or have we seen this growth in him where he's now turning into a massive part of championship teams and could be a big part of an NBA team?
Yeah, I think he'll be a really good pro, a really impactful, an impactful player at the next level because of the defense, because of the passing. The other thing you have to remember with Mara, like obviously, like it's become very popular to rag on Mick Cronin and how did you miss this? This guy was a superstar. Like bigs take time. He's 7'3". He's a little uncoordinated. He's a little goofy. You're coming to America. You're figuring out speaking English for the first time all the time. Like there was a lot that went into him getting his feet under him. And I thought he made big strides last year at UCLA. He went from a guy who was kind of unplayable to a guy that was a really useful rotation piece. He just couldn't stay on the floor. And obviously Michigan supercharged his development, but I do think this was coming sort of regardless. I've always been a believer, and I think he could have had a really big year had he stayed at UCLA. Now, again, would he have done what he did at Michigan? Probably not. But and that's a credit to Dusty for seeing maybe what Mick didn't. But I would also say, like, bigs do take time. And even he was obviously highly touted when he got there. But sometimes it does take a little bit longer.
Kevin, I said I've been plenty impressed with what Dan Hurley has built and what he has going at UConn. But I think I came out of this tournament thinking more of him as the national runner-up than maybe in those three championships. Think a lot of him, but to have that team come back against Duke and get to the finals, really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he did a phenomenal job this tournament. He really out-coached a lot of people. He's talked a lot about the way that they play being uncomfortable for teams. And when you get into March and you don't face teams that have had the familiarity of playing against them every year in the Big East, they tend to feast. And, I think that's a very real narrative now. And look, his two tournament losses the last 2 years have been to the eventual champ, obviously Michigan in the championship game. But he gave Florida a run for its money, certainly with an undermanned UConn team
2-point game
last year. Yeah, I mean, they were right there. So he's an elite coach, an elite tournament coach, and I don't think UConn's going anywhere anytime soon.
The last 2 years, you've had two coaches be first-time national champions, Todd Golden last year, Dusty May on Monday night. Way too early prognostication, we referenced your way too early top 25 yesterday. Who could be that first-time national champion coach in 52 weeks that we're talking about?
Yeah, I think Arizona's not going anywhere. know, if they can keep Mo Krivas, that'll be critical. You know, if he's back and Karchenkov is back, who's terrific on the wing, you know, they're gonna reload pretty quickly. It wouldn't be surprising to me if they're there. Duke obviously could be there as well. But I think big picture, you know, a few years ago, I think there was a lot of talk about, you know, who are going to be the faces of the sport moving forward. Coach K's gone, Jay Wright's gone, Roy's gone. And obviously some of these older guys have stuck around, Rick Pitino, Bill Self, Tom Izzo. But we have this new age group of elite coaches. And it starts with Hurley Golden and May, the three national champions here the last 4 years. But also Nate Oates and Tommy Lloyd and John Shire and TJ Otzelberger. And the list goes on and on. So I'm really excited about where the sport's heading in that regard, and it won't surprise me if we have a few new champions here over the coming years.
Far Sampson and Few and Rick Barnes, has the ship sailed on them ever getting one?
It did feel like that a little bit with Tennessee. You know, it felt like maybe the last go-around, but I would have said that a year ago, and here they were in the Elite Eight. So maybe not ready to cross anybody off, cross Gonzaga off. They were really good at the start of the year and got hurt, and with Braden Huff, maybe it's different. You know, Houston is recruited in a very serious way, and very impressively. And so maybe that changes things. But I do think Kelvin is close to the end. He'll give it maybe one or two more years and then pass it on to Kellen. Mm-hmm.
The big news coaching-wise over the weekend, Mike Malone going to be the next head coach at North Carolina. When did you first start hearing that Mike Malone could be a possible candidate for North Carolina, and what do you make of this hire?
Yeah, you know, I was with Tyler Hansbrough in the media room on Saturday night, and he asked me who I thought the next head coach of Carolina would be, and I was like, I feel like you might be more informed than I am. And he was like, yeah, keep an eye on Mike Malone. I said, all right. And then he said it on the show on Field of 68 on Sunday, and that got a lot of attention once he got the job on Monday. So certainly a bit of a surprise, but he has been around the program quite a bit, has some connections there, and has, you know, a ring in the NBA that should certainly help his recruiting pitch to folks. He's personally smart enough. It's just a question of can he adjust to the college game quick enough.
Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest maybe surprise or storyline for you since the portal opened?
You know, I think still a little surprised that Flory Badunga ended up jumping in. You know, he did last year, so maybe I shouldn't be shocked. And there was certainly buzz, but just, it's still jarring to me to see, you know, one of the best players on a blue blood like Kansas not stick around. I think he'll be in the minority of guys who are truly elite players who want to hit the portal. And it's still possible, you know, maybe Kansas could throw a bag and swing it back. But I think it's more likely than not he'll be gone. I know he's got a Louisville visit. I know Michigan has had some involvement, Duke, a couple others as well. But, yeah, it's a high stakes, a high priced recruitment to top the portal list right now.
Kevin, one thing for sure, we're not going 26 years in between this Big Ten championship and the next one, are we?
Doesn't feel like it, you know. And I've always kind of thought that the, you know, national championship drought was a little overrated. They would get teams right to the finish line and just run into some absolute wagons. But nice to get that off their back. And, yeah, I think we've got some monster programs in the league, you know, well situated for the next era of college hoops.
Indiana, one of them?
Big offseason for Darren DeVries. You know, I think financially they're certainly committed, and you know, this year maybe not the easiest to judge him on because they were scrambling to rebuild the roster on a whim. And you know, I think we've seen over time that years two and year three are probably a lot more of a predictor of success. But they're going to have all the resources they need to go get a big time roster. Now it's a question of well, what it will take to actually turn the corner and really win at a high level.
Talking about the Big Ten and kind of that drought that we just saw, and talk about this Michigan team. We mentioned your way too early top 25. You had Michigan at the top, and they've got a handful of guys that could return next year. Trey McKinney, Elliott Cadeau with eligibility remaining, and then two guys that you're seeing their names on a lot of draft boards, but we've talked a lot about, you know, some of these guys later in the first round maybe could return to school with Ade Mara and Merez Johnson. Out of those four, how many do you think are back, especially with those two guys that are on draft boards, and what do you think we see from Michigan this offseason?
Yeah, I expect Cadeau to be there. I expect McKinney to be there and think he could really explode. And then I would say that I think Merez has a much greater chance of being there than a Demara. Merez, I'm not going to say for sure that Merez comes back, but I think that has real legs. I think Mara's stock is too high. He's going to have to go. Merez could try to beef up his numbers and feast on a bad draft class next year, maybe climb into the more solidified first-round range.
As well as you know the industry, how much will next year's Penny Hardaway Memphis team cost him? What will it take for NIL and fundraising to get to what number to field a sufficient, legitimate team?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what I would tell you is I've told pretty much anyone that doesn't have $8 million that they're in deep trouble if they want to at all compete for an NCAA tournament bid. And if you want to compete to be a top 20 to 25 team, you probably need to be closer to $12 million. So that's the numbers I hear in the market. Obviously, these things change rapidly, and my answer to that question could be a little different next week. But that's the bar from what I've been told.
And that makes me ask you, if they couldn't come up with $6 million to pay him off, how are they going to come up to $8 to $10 to $12 million to field a team?
It's a great question, and look, it's a massive challenge. The one thing I'll say is, you know, there are different ways you can get creative. I know obviously they've been invested pretty heavily in trying to do the straight revenue sharing, and then I know you can also reroute some sponsorship dollars from, you know, direct, and I'm sure Memphis does relatively well with that, given, you know, the arena and whatnot. You know, they can reroute some sponsorship dollars directly to the roster. And try to pass that through NIL Go. So that's an opportunity to get over. But, yeah, the direct fundraising and booster support and the like, I mean, it's very challenging. And I think the thing that's really interesting, and it's, you know, not specific to Memphis, is, like, you know, every year now there are schools that are spending more money than they've ever spent, and boosters expecting that to lead to results. And, like, if everybody's spending more money than they've ever spent, not everybody can walk out of there feeling good about their team, right? Like, what happens when Rutgers doubles its budget and Rutgers is in the same spot next year? Probably not very good for them. What happens when Memphis doubles their budget and still is in the same spot next year? It's probably not very good for them.
Yeah. Another name in the portal, James Nagy. Obviously, he was a very popular name middle of the season with coming back to college basketball. And I saw either last night or the night before some Italian guard that is trying to play college basketball that was drafted in the second round. We saw a lot of this, of at least guys trying to go out there and seeing what they could do for it. How much of that do you think we see this offseason and going into next year?
Yeah, I think it will continue. You know, there's still a very limited pool of guys that have been drafted that could come over. And obviously the circumstance is a little different, you know, guy to guy. So it's hard to totally speculate. But, yeah, I think especially with the additional time that you have now, once the portal closes in a couple weeks, there's not a huge rush for a lot of these deals to get done. And you can spend a little bit more time working through eligibility, working through if there's a lawsuit that has to happen, working through the money, working through the buyout to get them out of their pro contract. You know, these things that can take time that were hard to pull off mid-season when the Nagy thing happened. And so, yeah, look, I think we'll see more and more sort of quote-unquote creative recruiting, more and more quote-unquote pros in college basketball. That is not going away unless the NCAA kind of drastically changes its model at the moment.
We know we want to catch up with you at some point during the summer. There'll be news that breaks that we'll have to check in with you. But if we don't, I want to get this in. One game you want to see next year, may not even be scheduled yet, but one game you want to see for the 26-27 season.
Man, I mean, I would say Michigan State, because, I mean, I know we'll see it, obviously, in conference play. It'd be amazing if we saw it in Detroit in the Final Four. That would be an incredible atmosphere and an incredible story. But you can tell there's a little bit of animosity there between Izzo and May, and now obviously on a level playing field after Dusty wins the championship. I could see some sparks flying in that one for sure.
Mm-hmm. We want you to come to Memphis for Memphis hosting Louisville next season.
That would be
Sounds great. Fun. Yeah, I'll see if we can make it happen.
Kevin, since we're talking about scheduling and different things like that, I saw this and then I heard nobody talk about it after it was announced. And so I'm curious, because you mentioned Field of 68 earlier, so you would be the person to know. High Point and Liberty, a midnight game to start the season this year. Is that real? That actually happening?
I believe that's real. Wow. This is not an official Field of 68 statement, so don't hold me to it.
Right.
But my understanding is they have been working on bringing back the marathon or something close to a marathon,
right.
And they've continued to expand that. So yeah, I think we'll see some funky timed games really right. into the season next year.
So you're talking midnight November 1st into Monday, November 2nd.
I believe that's the case, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on the High Point website. They have a statement about it. So I'm assuming if they have a statement about it on the High Point website, that means it's happening Monday, November 2nd at 12 a.m. Eastern time. So that would be 11 o'clock our time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, sign me up for that. I love one.
So that game over about 2:30 or so, Landon, that's when – we got
Hawaii. We get them out there.
Well, that's too early for Hawaii. We want them later, don't we?
I guess that's right. Yeah.
Who do we want up next?
I don't know.
We got to get a 2:30 game. That's the tough times of the 24-hour countdown.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be a lot of fun if we expand that. Obviously, it was a lot of fun last year.
We could end it with Hawaii.
Did. Yeah, we could. We could end it with Hawaii. But it's going to be a very busy offseason. I know there's really no rest time nowadays for you, Kevin, but we appreciate you joining
us
throughout the season. Like Brett said, we'll definitely be catching up with you throughout the offseason a couple times before we get back going with you next year.
Always fun to do it, guys. I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Get some sleep, Kevin Sweeney, for sure. And we really appreciate him. And book us for Wednesday at 5, Wednesday, October 28th.
Man, it cannot come soon enough. But, yeah, how about that? Getting the
I love it.
Midnight. I saw it. So High Point posted about it. I guess this statement says it was on the 4th. So I'm assuming it was the 4th when they posted about it on social media when I saw it. And then I thought it was going to be – when I saw that High Point posted it, I thought it was going to be like the big story of the day around college basketball. Oh, hey, we're getting midnight basketball back to start the year, but also Final Four, different things were going on. I didn't see another person say one word about it. So I was like, well, maybe that was just like a late April Fool's or something like that. But I knew Kevin would be the one to know. So I'm glad we got some information about that High Point.
The Tigers participated in that one year. I want to say they tipped like at 11. Yeah. I didn't make it.
Yeah, not many times do I remember them participating in it as one of the overnight games or one of the late night games. But I remember a couple of afternoons where they would be involved in that, and I would be watching it.
That'd be prime for the game in South Dakota.
Yep, it will be. Yeah, that will be right there in the mix with that.
I mean, could be the 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning game.
Sure, yeah. No, it absolutely could be. So, the Field of 68, we know they did it this past year. First game, I think, started at like 7 a.m. our time and then went throughout the day. I think it was about five or six games throughout the day that they had going. So that was a lot of fun. And hopefully it looks like expanding it and yeah, this is. I'm now reading more fully into the statement. Jeff Goodman, the co-founder of Field of 68 Media Network, quote, "We are so excited to get a game of the magnitude to start the 24-hour marathon at the Rock Hill Sports and Events Center. High Point was the lone true underdog." Yada yada yada. Talking more about High Point in their season. So yeah, it looks like they are going to try to have some sort of semblance of a 24-hour college basketball marathon to start the season.
And they've done a great service for our college basketball and college basketball fans. You see the response to it. Mm-hmm. But they've got a real issue.
What's
it's soon to be Field of 76.
Well, that's true. We're going to have to change the name of it, I guess. And it doesn't have the same ring as Field of 68. So they'll have to work on that.
Would you stay with it like Big Ten has stayed with the Big Ten, even though it's a lot more than 10?
I would. Personally, not everybody, but like Field of 68, they have a big following.
They're known.
Doing their thing.
Yes.
So like I wouldn't change it at this point. I would just be Field of 68 and sorry that the tournament has expanded since we opened. But that's what I would do if I was in charge. Who knows what they will do if they're rocking and rolling.
And we'll have one for sure somewhere out there. Summertime retirement. I hope no issue with anyone.
Sure.
But what we've seen the last couple of years with Tony Bennett and with Bruce Pearl, they know how to make sure yeah. who they want's hired.
Yeah, they know how the game's played now, and you know you can at least know that that person's going to get at least 1 year. You know, at Virginia, it didn't work out. They made the change the next year. At Auburn, you know, that's a very different situation. So he's going to get a little – Stephen Pearl's going to get a
that's
little more –
That's NIT long. Champions, Auburn.
That's right. How about that? See, I don't know. We talked about the crown and the winner of the crown and what Nebraska did after winning the crown. I don't know – I don't think there's a similar correlation with NIT. I don't think you have a great
Who won the crown?
The crown winner was – Oklahoma lost, and now I can't remember who
West
they
Virginia.
Lost to. West Virginia, that's exactly who won. So West Virginia, so look out next year for West Virginia, because if Nebraska showed us anything, it's that you're going to go out there and start the season undefeated and go 16-0 or whatever it was and then get into the NCAA tournament. So congratulations, West Virginia. But we're about to get to a break. Before we do that, let me remind you about our 5 o'clock sponsor. It's Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Jaguar Bluff City has been the premier Jaguar dealership for the greater Memphis area since 1984, and their talented team, they're ready to help you find your next perfect vehicle at unbeatable rates. Swing by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City today and check out those brand new models like the Range Rover Sport, the Range Rover Velar, and the Defender. Test drive the Range Rover Sport, where luxury meets performance. It's a perfect mix of style, performance, and versatility, with options ranging from 360 horsepower up to 635. It's also available as a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle with $7,500 federal tax credit when leased with approved credit. Take a look at the Range Rover Velar, powered by mild hybrid technology and enhanced with the latest well-being features and fully connected entertainment system. The Range Rover Velar is the ultimate luxury compact crossover. Purchase yours today and get special 4.4% for 72 months financing available with approved credit. Don't forget about the Defender. Available in multiple models to fit your needs, the Defender is built for the modern Explorer, and Jaguar Bluff City is offering special interest rates for 60 and 72 months on various models. Give them a call, 877-259-6169. Go online to jaguarbluffcity.com, but head out there, test drive these vehicles, 6335 Wheel Cove, just off of Quince, for Bluff City Jaguar. Well, let's get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got a little bit less than 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending and a handful of things trending, including some interesting news out of Chicago. We mentioned it earlier, the news with the NBA that the Bulls made a change at the general manager position. Now looking for a new GM, but now reporting being done that the Bulls are hoping to retain Billy Donovan this offseason, bring him back as the head coach, and allowing him, with whoever they bring in ultimately as their general manager, to give Billy Donovan more of a role in kind of decisions and what type of moves are made in terms of a roster kind of role. So it looks like, you know, that was something Billy Donovan really wanted and something that he didn't like with the Bulls and their general manager. And so maybe a change here. Maybe Billy Donovan is back next season with the Bulls.
If he wanted that much authority, he should have taken the North Carolina job.
Well, and that's what
or they could have waited on him.
Sure, and that's what I'm wondering, if maybe, you know, you saw the move for the general manager position at Chicago happened. It was announced a couple hours before Mike Malone was announced as the head coach of North Carolina. I'm wondering if some things were going on behind the scenes those last couple of days where, you know, they went to Billy Donovan and said, look, we're making this move. General manager's out of here. We're going to give you a lot more say in what the roster looks like moving forward with whoever we bring in. And then maybe he said, look, I like being in the NBA. I like, you know, coaching the Bulls. And, you know, if I have more say-so in what the roster looks like, I would rather be here in Chicago than go back to college. And so maybe there is a correlation there of the decision to move from what everyone thought would be Billy Donovan to now what it is with Mike Malone.
He's been good in the NBA, but that's it. Nothing like his college run.
He's been good. It's been really tough with Chicago. You look at the roster, and again, you know, going back to the general manager, some of the moves that have been made to, you know, send guys elsewhere, to bring some guys in that just hasn't worked. And you look at that roster, it's a lot of young guys that that they've been trying to rely on. I think they've got some pieces that they can build on. You know, Matas Buzelis looks like a really fun young player, and so maybe they've got some pieces that they can build around, maybe guys that they decide to move on from and make some changes there, that maybe he looks around and says, look, we can be really competitive in a couple of years, see what we get out of this draft, and you know, in a year or two, we're a very competitive NBA team. So very interesting stuff up in Chicago, and will be something to keep an eye on throughout the offseason.
That's another common denominator of all the tanking teams in a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's
Who's in tank mode now that can be in the playoffs this time next year, never mind the two?
I mean, it's obviously Indiana because of the reason they're in this position is because
they're
superstars. I think everyone's expecting them to, you know, be back in that kind of top four or five next year. But you know, a lot of these teams that are tanking, you know, you start tanking because you're bad, and you know, you started the tank, and you know, it's hard to see a big jump. I would assume it would be an Eastern Conference team just with how solid the West has been. But you know, I could see in terms of just teams making that big jump, I would say Utah could be right there with some of those moves they made at the trade deadline, obviously with Jaren Jackson, the commitment they have in their stars. If you can add another big-time piece to that, you know, they could make a series
Dallas?
Next season. Dallas is definitely there too, you know, and they're a team that could certainly be in the mix. But, you know, again, you know, Jazz, Dallas, any of these teams you want to talk about, it's going to be hard when you look up in the West and see those teams in front of you because a lot of those teams aren't going anywhere.
You're not going to try Washington again next year, are you?
I think Washington will improve. You know, obviously what they did at the trade deadline to kind of
what
look
was your over
the,
and
the
under?
Future. It wasn't far off of what they're. I think it was like 20.5 or something.
Oh, was
like that,
okay.
21.5.
You were close.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I couldn't you know, factor in a lot of the injuries and things that happened, but you know, they went out and got Anthony Davis. They went out and got Trae Young. You know, if those guys can be healthy going into next year with a lot of the pieces they have right now, you know, I think they can be a better team. I'm not going to say they're going to go out there and, you know, I won't predict them to be in the playoffs again like I did this year, but you know, I think they can be a lot better next season because I do think they've got some nice pieces. It's just the problem with Washington, and you know, you can go through here and look at a lot of other these teams. They have nice players. It's just the fact that they haven't been able to, you know, hit on the lottery. They have kind of landed in that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 for a lot of drafts, and it's hard when you know, are drafting there year over year to, you know, really put together a team that can go and be a playoff type of team.
On Tuesday, we'll have two play-in games to pick.
Yeah, that's going to be
a lot of play-in games next week.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we're already talking play-in and playoffs, and you know, it's going to be here before we know it. And I think going to be some very competitive games. You know, you saw obviously Boston ended up winning that game last night, but for a lot of that game, Charlotte really fought, had the lead, looked like they could pull the upset on the road, and then you know, it was just Boston
they were
was
right
really
there
strong
with
late.
Them.
Yeah, they were, and so that's a team that right now 9th in the standings. So you know, we'll see them next week and. You know, they could be a really fun team to watch. It's going to be interesting. We talk so much about, you know, up at the top, but how these standings play out for the play-in, very important, too, of how many games you need to win, how you need to play. Charlotte, when we were talking about them yesterday, they were, I think, in the 7th spot, now in the 9th spot, because they're all separated by half a game. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out between the 76ers, the Magic, and the Hornets. And then on the other side with the West, you know, you're looking at some really interesting teams down there in the playoff with the Suns, the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Warriors. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Games tonight, games tomorrow night, games Friday, none Saturday, and then all 30 teams, 15 games on Sunday with the first start time at 5, the last start time, and a bunch of start times at 7:30, almost kind of how baseball tries to do it on the last day of the year. It's going to be some different lineups out there on Sunday for good teams and bad.
Yeah, and we talked about that earlier with kind of that group that the Grizzlies are in terms of tanking. Of, you know, I would assume if the game was being played tonight between the Grizzlies and the Rockets, I would say by all means, Rockets are gonna blow them out. On Sunday, who knows who's playing, and that's the matchup you get on Sunday. So I kind of like it, you know, thrown out there. I'm curious to see if the NBA does anything on you know, kind of their website or something like that where you can kind of have like the red zone style whip around coverage where you're kind of peeking at all these games and keeping a close eye of, hey, this team is a half game back of this team and they're up by 15 right now. This other team's losing, and, you know, kind of where you can keep up with all of them, because that's a lot of games to try to keep up with. So I hope they do something like that, whether it is online or maybe on NBA TV somewhere, because I think that would be a lot of fun. But
it doesn't look like many will impact seeding, and everybody's in, in or out, not in play.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it'd be fun to, you know, have that sort of whip around where you can keep up with all of them,
yeah.
At the very least, you know, even if we don't have a lot of, you know, different things. Because if you're, you know, I personally would love to see kind of an all-day thing where you've got two or three games that start at noon, two or three games that start at two, two or three games that start at four, you know, so on and so forth, to where you can kind of spread them out a little bit. I do kind of hate the, you know, all of them bunched in together over a couple hours, but, you know, maybe they can find a fun way to keep people engaged and try to keep eyes on all these, because you're right. I mean, a lot of these games, it's just going to be playing out the strength. A lot of these teams are going to know exactly where they're at, and they're going to be kind of meaningless games.
You know, baseball's the sport of playing out the string. Well, that's usually about Labor Day on for a handful of teams, but not this number this prolonged. This has been since the new calendar year for eight or nine teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, all-out tank, and obviously we've talked about it a lot. The commissioner is not happy about it. You know, Adam Silver is not a fan of everything that's going on this year. Now, I think we've talked about it with Keith Smith. I think it's highlighted this year and last year because of some of those players that are in the draft. I don't think that if – I know we're going to see changes, and it sounds like a vote is coming up at some point next month for those changes. I don't expect the tanking to kind of be all out like it is this year next year, because it sounds like that draft class isn't going to be very strong. But, you know, it does look like we're going to see some changes, and I'll be really curious to see – what those changes are, because it has been a different level, and you're seeing a lot of stats coming out and different numbers about players missing games in national television games. And then on the flip side of that, Brett, and I've been really surprised about this, if I'm being honest, you're starting to see some players come out and say, hey, I'm good to go. I want to play, but my team is not playing me. Obviously, Giannis is the biggest one right now, but Joel Embiid also going out there saying, I could play if they would let me, but they're not letting me. So it's been a very
because they're scared he'll get hurt.
Well, yes, that now that is the truth about Joel Embiid. That's kind of a different thing of they need him available and don't want him to go out there and get
made
hurt.
Made of glass.
No, he really is. But we've just never seen this where players get shut down and then they're saying, no, I want to play. I could be out there
well,
if I want
Giannis
to.
Is saying.
And yeah, and it's weird to see. It's different. So obviously the commissioner gonna try to make some changes. I don't know how effective they're gonna be, how great they're gonna be. I don't like a lot of the ones that have been thrown out there, but we'll see, because it feels like it's gonna be different next year.
Brian, in the sport that we cover better than any show in town, without any doubt, that's the hockey.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Last night the Flyers and my Predators and my Flyers both got there last night.
Yeah, big win for the Predators last night. They're right there, kind of on the teetering on
the
edge of making
two-team money line parlay would have paid.
That's a great question. I cannot say. I'd say both on the road.
I never wagered on the hockey.
Really? Wow. I would say it would pay pretty well, both teams on the road. But yeah, they both get the win. And just like basketball, we are coming down the final stretch, coming out to the end on the hockey season.
How many games do they play?
They play 82, just like
okay.
Basketball. So
I
say it all the time.
I knew that.
Well, there you go. Their season, I'm pulling it up. Their season ends next Thursday. So, you know, they are pretty much on the same schedule as the NBA. It's usually off about a week or so. This year, obviously a little different because of all the missed time with the Olympics. But, you know, they're pretty close in terms of scheduling and when things happen. So we're getting close to the end on hockey, and we can't forget, because I think last year, Brett, I think we almost forgot to make some of those hockey picks when we got to playoff.
Well,
time,
it was so just a planning
we
era.
We can't forget about it this year.
We don't forget about it. No, in the hockey, real intrigue on in or out, not just seeding. There's a lot of in or out intrigue.
Yeah, there definitely is. And so it'll be fun to watch. And, you know, this really is the time if, you know, you don't watch a lot of hockey.
You had your Boston Bruins sweater on yesterday.
Yeah, had that
yesterday. It looks hot.
It is, but yesterday was the day. Yesterday was kind of cool outside, so I felt like yesterday was the day. It's cold in here in the studio, so I was like, maybe wear the Bruins
sweater. How about
the
weather
today? Oh, it's really nice.
This knocked Beverly Hills out.
No, it's beautiful. It is it's picture perfect outside, and so I hope a lot of people able to enjoy it out there. But
Brian, I want to mention our guest at 3:30, Kaylee Mansell. It's so fun to have her on, and I commented, and she was not one of them. I didn't want to inference her. Then, not only was she not one of them, this is the kind of person she is. You know, I told you some of my Georgia media buddies, you know, all week in New Orleans. Oh, great to see you. You know, just no. Ole Miss had no chance in their mind. You know, headed to Phoenix next week, then to the night. You know, it was just no game. And then it was over. It was like, how dare you? Here's the difference in Kaylee and the rest of them. I've told you, and you were one of them, and I appreciate it. I woke up the next morning to 71 text messages. And from you and from her, really happy for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that is kind.
No, that is kind. And I know you've said it a lot about some of those bulldogs that are covering Georgia down there.
I mean, catch the elevator to go back up. Post game, I see one. I said, man, what a game. He was mad as he could be over it.
It's crazy. That's insane.
But I didn't play.
No, but I'm not surprised that Kaylee was one of those that sent you a text and congratulated
next day,
you.
That woke
is,
up to
that is not surprising, but definitely great to hear. But we need to get to our final break of the day, and when we return, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do. Moe's Crunch Time. It comes your way next.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Bluff City. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is Geraldo. It is press time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your taco Crunch Time emergencies. Well, Brett, what I learned today is Cade Cunningham is set to return for the Detroit Pistons. He was listed earlier today as questionable for tonight's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. But according to ESPN's Vince Goodwill, he's going to play. So it sounds like he will be back tonight. He'll play. You know, I don't know how many of these last couple of games he'll play in the regular season, but it is clear that Cade Cunningham will be back when it matters the most in the playoffs. And when you see the Boston Celtics quickly approaching Detroit, and really, I don't know of many people that are looking at the Eastern Conference and looking at the number one seed and saying they could go out there and represent the East in the NBA Finals. It feels like everybody is on the Celtics for Detroit to be in competition and be in conversation to go to the NBA Finals. They have to have Cade Cunningham out there, and it has to be a healthy Cade Cunningham. So we'll get a look tonight and to see how many of these regular season games he plays, because he will be very important for Detroit.
That's a winner for the Cardinals, 6-1. The Cardinals, red hot. Two birds, one bat, just like I said they would do this year.
I mean, you're on it.
What I learned today, SEC Media Days lineup announced. And I'm not saying it was because of me, but at the Fiesta Bowl, I suggested to an SEC upper honcho, it was not Greg Sankey, but it was somebody in the office, you better put LSU on the last day in Tampa, or you're going to have everybody trying to get out of there early. You got to have Lane and LSU there to hold the crowd. What day is LSU and Lane going to speak? On Thursday.
How about that? Brett, you're on top of everything today. Good Lord.
Doing the best I can.
You are
for the people.
You are doing it for the people and for the SEC. I think you should get something in return for that. I don't know. I'm not saying
I'll get a pat on the back.
That's right. Yeah, hopefully. What I could have done without some really sad news that was released earlier today with Dick Vitale and his health. This is from the USA Today story. It said, through a statement from ESPN PR, Vitale announced that he received bad news after going through a series of routine tests last week. The iconic college basketball personality revealed that there were some abnormalities found. In a quote, while I feel great physically and sharp mentally, I heard from my doctors that the latest test showed some abnormalities. Vitale said in a statement shared by ESPN, they have recommended some additional testing and determine next steps. I'm hoping for the best, and we will see what the roadmap looks like after an upcoming biopsy. As always, I plan to remain as active as ever and fight as hard as can be. So I hate that some bad news and maybe some scary things going on with Dick Vitale and his battle that he's been going through with cancer.
Has anybody ever handled it with more bravery and bring it on, I'll whip it again?
I mean, he is it's incredible. And to see him, you know, in these, you know, the couple of games he did this year, and, you know, what you can see the emotion on him of what it means to him, having all the people around him and seeing that fight in him, it's really cool to see.
I could have done without the slouchiest, sorriest on the court and off in 25 years of the Grizzlies that we've all had to go through. It's alienated a lot of fans, and now we're supposed to trust Wexler and Kleiman with the rebuild. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
sign the lease.
Yeah, it's got to be done. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me to Washington Road, Augusta National Golf Club. Be on the first tee tomorrow morning for maybe the last time at 86 years young for Jack Nicklaus. He'll tee it up and get things started.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Beam me, though, to this game starting here in just a couple minutes. Hawks and Cavs on ESPN. Should be a fun one in the NBA.
Pick night at, on live from the Masters. Cubs at Rays, A's at Yankees. And must win for Denver and must lose for the Grizzlies. That's a simple deal, isn't
it? Yeah, it's going to be a fun night with a couple of baseball games. We've got basketball, too, on ESPN. I mentioned Hawks and Cavs. Blazers, Spurs later tonight. Also, Grizzlies in action on the road against Denver. And then Masters all day tomorrow. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.